Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks to all of you as Planned Parenthood for all the work that you are doing for women all across the country and for families all across the country and for men who are have enough sense to realize you're helping them all across the country. I want to thank Cecile Richards for her extraordinary leadership. I'm happy to see so many good friends here today, including Steve Tromlett and Pam Sutherland from my home state of Illinois. We had a number of battles down in Springfield for many, many years, and it was wonderful to see that they are here today. So it's been a little over 5 months since I announced my candidacy for President of the United States of America. And everywhere we've been inspired by these enormous crowds. We had 20,000 people in Atlanta, 20,000 people in Austin, Texas, 15,000 people in Oakland, California, and I would love to take all the credit for these crowds myself, to say to myself that it's because I'm just so fabulous, but my wife says otherwise. Michelle, I think, confirmed that these crowds are not about me.
Five, four, two.
It's not for hunger. All across America for something different. It's about the sense that we can do better.
It's going
to come to a crossroads. We're not pointed in the right direction. And as I look out over these crowds, and there's a wonderful cross-section. Male, female, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native American, disabled, gay, straight, old, young. What I'm heartened to see is particularly the young people who are getting the first chance to be part of a larger movement of America. I see young women who are young. And I think about my own two daughters, Sasha and Malia. And sometimes it makes me stop and it makes me wonder, what kind of America will our daughters grow up in? What kind of America will our daughters grow up in? Will our daughters grow up with the same opportunities as our sons? Will our daughters have the same rights, the same dreams, the same freedom to pursue their own version of happiness? I wonder, because there's a lot at stake in this country today, and there's a lot at stake in this election, especially for our daughters. To appreciate that, all you have to do is review the recent decisions handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States. For the first time in Gonzalez versus Carhart, the Supreme Court upheld a federal ban on abortion with criminal penalties for doctors. For the first time, the court endorsed abortion prescription without exception for women's health. The decision presumes that the health of women is protected by the court, not by doctors, and not by the woman herself. That presumption is wrong. Some people argue that the federal ban on abortion was just an isolated effort aimed at one medical procedure, that it's not part of a concerted effort to steadily roll back the hard-won rights of American women. That presumption is also wrong. Within hours of the decision, an Alabama lawmaker introduced a measure to ban all abortions. With one more vacancy on the court, we could be looking at a majority hostile to a woman's fundamental right to choose for the first time since Roe versus Wade, and that is what is at stake in this election. The only thing more disturbing than the decision was the rationale of the majority. Without any hard evidence, Justice Kennedy proclaimed it is self-evident that a woman would regret her choice. He cited medical uncertainty about the need to protect the health of pregnant women, even though the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists found no such uncertainty. Justice Kennedy knows many things. My understanding is he does not know how to be a doctor. He dismissed its mere preferences, the reasoned judgment of the nation's doctors. We've seen time after time these last few years, when the president says otherwise, when the science is inconvenient, when the facts don't match up with the ideology, they are cast aside. Well, it's time for us to change that. It is time for a different attitude in the White House. It is time for a different attitude in the Supreme Court. It is time to turn the page and write a new chapter in American history. We know that
I can't hear anything, so we'll go ahead and play today. Warren G. Harden's birthday is Wednesday. And the question is, was he America's first black president? They used the term Negro at that time. And he said, I can't help it if one of my ancestors jumped over the back fence. Now, the Occupy Wall Street movement, go back to Warren Harding's administration and Calvin Coolidge and Herbert Hoover and the crash in 1929. The banksters had to have partners in all of this graft. And look at these bogus nonprofits. People are beginning to realize that, hey, billions of dollars went to funding these organizations. There's no credibility. There's no We don't really know who they serve, except for themselves, their buddies, their political allies. They need to be ordered.
And we are not going back.
That's
we
right.
refuse to go back.
It's a very small square in front of City Hall. And another person that's messing here in San Francisco, even worse, is and it's right at the park where all the tourists and suburbanites get off the ferry to Alcatraz, where some politicians belong, and we need to reopen it. That's what's going to be. What's going to be interesting is the rains come. There's tent city out there now, but I don't. I hope this is going through. Something going wrong with our system, and I want to play a few clips from Warren G. Harding. He had a great voice, and I think it's time that he's looked at again. Amazing person. He was the first American president to go down to the South and tell man, quote, the Negro his civil rights. No other president, not even Lincoln couldn't, but Lincoln said if the South came back into the Union in 1864 after the Emancipation Proclamation, then they'd work something out. But he also wanted to send blacks, quote, the Africans to Liberia. So we need to look at that in the context of that Abraham Lincoln really wasn't. Did come to the White House and said he would. So let me find out where Harding is, and I don't know what's happened here. We've had lately some snafu. I don't know. I like the new system, but it's very difficult to get it going as a problem like this. I don't know how we can correct it right away without screwing up the program. So right now,
it's about creating what might be in this country. Yeah. And that's what we've got to work together on.
Screw up today. And,
there will always be people we had, who do not share my view.
Uploaded it. And we uploaded Obama. This is really goofy. Now, also, it's really interesting. Here we go. Here's Warren G. Harding's what talked about America.
My countrymen, first flaming torch of Americanism was lighted in framing the Federal Constitution in 1787. The Pilgrims signed their simple and suggested covenant a full century and a half before and set aflame their beacon of liberty on the coast of Massachusetts. Other pioneers of New World freedom were rearing their new standards of liberty from Jamestown to Plymouth for five generations before Lexington and Concord heralded the new era. It was all American in the best and result, yet all of it lacked the soul of nationality. In simple truth, there was no thought of nationality in the revolution for American independence. The colonists were resisting a wrong, and freedom was their solace. Once it was achieved, nationality was the only agency suited to its preservation. Americanism really began when robed in nationality. The American Republic began the blaze trail of representative popular government. Representative democracy was proclaimed the safe agency of highest human freedom. America headed the forward procession of civil, human, and religious liberty, which ultimately will affect the liberation of all mankind. The Federal Constitution is the very base of all Americanism. The art of the covenant of American liberty.
I thought we had this on. It's
Constitution does abide and ever will, so long as the Republic survives.
I'm trying here.
Never hesitate before we surrender the nationality, which is the very soul of highest American.
Our best hand.
This Republic has never failed humanity, nor endangered civilization.
Now, also, we had the Pacific Gas and Electric scandal. They've already had the San Bruno problem where they didn't maintain the safety or the monitor the deterioration of the gas pipes, and that huge explosion which nearly destroyed the town of San Bruno. Now we have a PR scandal where this woman, Rosario Anaya, a legal, I guess, immigrant from Bolivia, been here during the 70s, came here in the 70s, got involved in our federal poverty programs, never accounted for anything, lived in Oakland, Alameda County, but yet she ran in San Francisco County as an official for San Francisco County on the school board, and she lied about that. Millions of dollars have gone into her organization, yet there's been no accounting, no audits, and made anti-Semitic remarks about people who questioned her accountability. So there was a promotion in the new San Francisco Examiner newspaper, and apparently it's going around that people who know about the Rosario Anaya scandal are raising questions about who did PG&E hire to do this PR piece, and do they check the background of the people that they promote and put their logo on? So there's a question here of someone didn't do their homework. Now, among the interesting birthdays today, I hope this is going through. I don't know what the problem is. We had John Keats, the writer. He was born today. Chiang Kai-shek, the nationalist president of China, succeeded Sun Yat-sen. He was born today. The great black singer Ethel Waters was born today. And then those of you who remember Roy Rogers, well, his wife and horse was named Trigger. Not the wife, but Dale Evans was his wife. And then the actress Barbara Dale Geddes, she was born today. We had Michael Landon of Bonanza. And now the guy, Lauren Green, was born in Alberta, Canada, or Saskatchewan, Canada, with his great deep voice. Tom Paxton was born today. And then we had John Kennedy, another Canadian. He was born today. And among the deaths, Papa Bear, George Halas, one of the greatest football coaches of all time, Chicago Bears, he died today. Indira Gandhi was assassinated today. That whole family, her son died in a plane crash. Her mentor, Mahatma Gandhi, was assassinated. A lot of tragedy with that family. And then John Houseman, or Houseman, who played in the Paper Chase and who was with the Mercury Theater, worked with Orson Welles. He died today at 88, died on this date, spinal cancer. And then Joseph Papp, the guy who put together a lot of the New York plays in the park, he died today, on this date, rather. And then in 1517, Martin Luther, they claimed that he nailed his thesis on the board, the door at Wartenberg. Other people say he mailed them. Well, we'll see. Then the guy who, remember you heard about the canary in the mine? Sir Humphrey Day, he invented a lamp or a mechanism for miners so they could work down underground. And the Welsh miners, I had a horrible life, and remember the little horses that were down there pulling the carts? They never came out. It was just a horrible life, a horrible way to treat animals. And today, in 1864, Nevada became the 36th state. And on this date, in 1922, Benito Mussolini became premier of Italy, dictator. He wasn't a lawyer. He was a school teacher and an editor of a left-wing radical paper. In 1954, on this date, The Algerians started their revolution, and that forced the French. They had the long Algerian War, a lot of atrocities on both sides. It was very bloody, as these wars are. Eventually, the French left North Africa. The French who went over there as colonists were called Pied Noir, Blackfoot. There was this feeling in mainland France, continental France, that they didn't like these refugees from Algeria, and then it was a bloody war. It was Charles de Gaulle who finally resolved it when he said the Algerian War has got to be ended. He also ended the war in Indochina after the defeat of the French at Dien Bien Phu in Vietnam. We'll get into that another day. And then Lee Harvey Oswald, this is still very controversial to this day. He said that he would never leave Russia. We don't know if he came over here and assassinated John Kennedy. It's still a mystery. There are a lot of, for a Marine sharpshooter, there's a lot of questions as to whether he really did it or he was even here or there was a double. We'll never know. And then getting back to Vietnam, Nguyen Van Thieu became the first president of Vietnam. So I don't know what's going on, so we're going to probably end early today till I can figure this out. I'm sorry about this. Since it's political season, we will hit our theme now, politics and poker, or maybe some of these guys, Rick Perry, and I don't know if the Mormons play cards, but anyway, let's play our theme, and we're going to end early.
Too much of my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Pony, up to you.
Hey, Johnny, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the bet?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen. Who's willing to lose?
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker. Politics and poker. Shuffle up and
politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Pride, Michael Fanyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Yale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker.
Well, folks, I don't know what's going on, but we're going to end early. This is Peter Paul Bozzola. We'll be back Wednesday at 3:30, our new time, to celebrate Warren G. Harding's birthday. Good night.